Tales from an Airfield, read by Simon Davis. Chapter 1. The Wrong Airport. Archie the aeroplane was dozing outside the hangar, warming his wings in the summer sunshine. He was a lovely-looking aeroplane, and although small by today's standards, Archie was a very helpful sort of chap who loved nothing better than to be up amongst the clouds, playing hide-and-seek with the sun or the stars, depending on the time of day or night. Archie was in fact a Dakota DC-3, and quite old as aeroplanes go, having first been made during the Second World War. However, as various parts of him had been replaced over the years, he could hardly remember any of the brave things he had done or the action he had seen back when he was fresh out of the factory. His crew said he had history, but Archie wasn't really that interested, preferring to look forward to whenever and wherever he was due to fly next instead of remembering the past. His drab green wartime colour had long been replaced with a bright coat of gleaming red paint, and he'd been so well looked after you would think he was almost brand new. Archie wasn't a jet, like some of his friends who lived at the airfield, but had an ordinary engine and a propeller on each wing. Inside his bright red fuselage there was just enough room for about 20 passengers and a stewardess, with a cabin at the front for the pilot and the co-pilot. Because of his size, Archie generally had a busy time ferrying passengers to and from the airfield for the important long-haul jets to take abroad, then picking them up and taking them back home when they returned. This type of flying is known as short haul, and Archie only ever did short haul nowadays. In fact, since arriving at the airfield many years ago, he'd never once been abroad like his jet-powered friends. But he was a very helpful little aeroplane and enjoyed looking after his passengers wherever he flew them. Archie lived in a hangar on the old side of the aerodrome. The airfield itself had once been an RAF fighter station, so it had a couple of good grass runways. Some time ago, a long tarmac runway had been added and a terminal had been built on the modern side of the field. Archie had quite a few friends on both sides. As his hangar was too small for the big jets, he usually lived with Jenny, the single-prop de Havilland, Wampum, the twin-engined Piper Seminole, Jeremy the steerman, and Cynthia, the very snooty Cessna. Sometimes the smaller jets would visit the old side when it was particularly busy, and they ran out of places to park near the terminal. They always complained it was cramped and dirty, but Archie liked his hangar, even though it was small. It smelled like a proper hangar should, of old oil and toolboxes, not like the antiseptic jet hotels on the new side. The jets were, in general, very friendly, and there's a great camaraderie between all flying machines. Even when they were, as usual, extremely busy at the passenger terminal, most weeks Archie would run across his old friends Larry the Jumbo, Henri the Airbus, and Priscilla, the fussiest twin-engine jet you have ever met. Archie had returned from one of his short-haul journeys very late the night before, and was looking forward to a good long rest. It was a sunny day, his wings were nice and warm, his cleaners had just left him spick and span, and he was feeling very comfortable and at ease with the world. He was woken up by a sudden crackle in his ears. The radio burst into life. "Archie, start your engines, we need you quickly." It was the air traffic controller, speaking from the control tower in the middle of the airfield. "We've got a spot of bother over at the terminal, and it looks like we're going to need your help. Henri, the Airbus is full up, and there are some passengers who want to go to Paris for the weekend."
"Oh, polish me props!" exclaimed Archie. "I'm very tired. I've no fuel, and I've never been to Paris. At least I don't think I have. Where is Paris, anyway?"
Archie started to get quite excited when the air traffic controller told him that Paris is in France.
"France? Wow! That's abroad, isn't it?"
Archie was too excited to be concerned at first, especially as he felt sorry for the passengers who'd been looking forward to their weekend away for some time. He knew they wouldn't be able to go to Paris unless air traffic found them a plane quickly, so he was very patient while people fussed all around him. Balvenie the Bowser brought some fuel over and pumped his tanks, and his air crew arrived from where they'd been playing cards in the terminal offices. It gave Archie time to wake up, and he started thinking about going abroad for what seemed like the very first time. Do I need a passport? He asked the flight engineer, who was busy checking the instruments.
No, I don't think so, Archie, he laughed. Besides, we'd have to get a passport-size picture of you, and I don't think you would fit into a photo booth in the terminal, would you?
Archie was disappointed about not having a passport. He imagined flying off to all sorts of places and having his passport stamped, like some of the passengers he brought to the airfield for the big aeroplanes to take abroad. It was funny how many of the passengers only remembered that they needed a passport when they were up in the air, and slightly less funny how they caused so much trouble for the flight crew when they realised that they had left their passports at home. Archie's friends were very excited about the trip too. Jenny, who rarely ventured very far from the airfield these days, thought it would be a great experience for him and perhaps help him remember the times he'd flown abroad when he was younger. But Jeremy the steerman was envious because it had been years since he had flown over the sea. Ha! He said in his busy radial engine twang of an accent. I could get there and back in the time it takes you to load up and haul out. Which, as Jenny told him sharply, wasn't really the point, as he only had two seats and one of those was for the pilot. Cynthia, the snooty Cessna, got cross immediately. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. There's only a few passengers, and they'd be much more comfortable in my modern cabin than in your smelly old fuselage. And I'm a much more efficient aeroplane altogether. I think I should take them while you stay here in the hangar. Wampum pointed out that Cynthia had only one engine and therefore couldn't fly passengers over the channel, whilst he could because he was a twin-engine plane just like Archie. However, as usual, only one of Wampum's engines was working, which meant that he couldn't fly straight and typically ended up flying round in circles all the time. But he was right about Cynthia not being any good for the trip to France, and this sent Cynthia fuming to the back of the hangar, muttering darkly about Archie's age and unsuitability for the job, complaining to herself about the ridiculous rules and regulations concerning single-propeller aeroplanes. Henri the Airbus looked over at Archie when he got to the terminal. Well, my little friend, he said in his French European accent, I do not know what all this fuss is about. It is just, how you say, an alley-oop of Oise Channel. What is the problem? See you over there when you land, The problem was, of course, that whilst an Airbus like Henri could jet off practically anywhere, finding its way using modern instruments, Archie wasn't that well equipped. He didn't have a single computer on board and relied on some simple but very effective radio sets for navigation. As far as going to France was concerned, he couldn't even remember where it was, despite the fact that he'd actually been there many times. It was strange how there were lots of things Archie had forgotten, but the truth of it was that as each part of Archie's equipment had been replaced, a small piece of his memory went with the old bits, and he had to start remembering again with the new bits. For Archie, the trip to Paris felt just the same as it would for you if you were going somewhere completely new on holiday and didn't really know where you were going. All this made Archie understandably nervous about the trip. The ground crew brought the passengers out to Archie on Jura, the terminal bus, and when they were sitting comfortably inside Archie's bright red fuselage, sucking their boiled sweets, Archie taxied out onto the runway. The passengers were very excited about flying with Archie, saying he had great character, which made Archie feel very proud. He was only about half full, so he took a short run up and there he was, in the air, just where he loved to be, flying happily through the sunny afternoon sky.
"All right then, Archie," said his pilot. "Turn to the south and head for Paris, will you please?"
Archie was dismayed. "I thought you knew the way to Paris. I've never been there before, and Paris is not programmed into my instruments."
It was the pilot's turn to be concerned. He had assumed Archie would be prepared to just fly to Paris and hadn't expected to have to do anything until he got there. He radioed back to the control tower and explained the problem.
"We can't bring you back now," said the air traffic controller. "The passengers are already late and will miss their holiday. Just fly over the channel and look for the Eiffel Tower. You'll soon find the airport."
Archie and his chief pilot were a bit worried, but it was a clear day, and Archie thought it would be easy to find the Eiffel Tower. He'd seen it on the magazines the ground crew left in his seats. So they flew south over the channel, looking at the merry boats leaving nice foamy shapes in the water. When they had crossed the channel and had been flying over France for a while, it got a bit cloudy, and Archie had to fly lower to look for the Eiffel Tower. After about 10 minutes, they still hadn't seen it, and the passengers wanted to know why they were flying in circles. Well, Archie's pilot couldn't tell them that they didn't have a map, so he said they were waiting for clearance to land, which wasn't strictly true. Archie's co-pilot spotted an airfield with a big control tower. It didn't look like the Eiffel Tower to Archie, but they decided to land anyway and hope they were near enough to Paris to get the passengers there quickly. The French air traffic controllers were very surprised to see Archie. They came running over to ask him what he was doing on their airport without telling them he was coming.
"I'm very sorry," said Archie, near to tears. "It's my first time abroad for years, you see, and I don't know exactly where Paris is."
The chief French air traffic controller talked very loudly in a foreign language without appearing to listen to Archie at all, but very definitely ended with the word passport and held his hand out.
"But I haven't got a passport," cried Archie. "My engineer said I didn't need one."
The air crew looked very uncomfortable, and the passengers started getting ever so cross. And to make matters worse, the French aeroplane started to make fun of Archie.
"You English aeroplanes, you come over here. You don't even know where to land."
The pilot and engineer argued with the French controllers for what seemed like hours. But eventually, a kindly old business jet took off in front of them and showed them the way to Paris. Well, the passengers were very pleased to see the Eiffel Tower at last, and so was Archie. After they had landed, the pilot bought a map and set a course back for the aerodrome. Well, it was dark when they got home, and Archie was very tired. The other planes in the hangar asked what had happened, but Archie was too upset to tell them. Aeroplanes don't like getting lost, preferring to say that they were temporarily unsure of their position, which really means that they were indeed lost. But it sounds a bit better when you're telling your friends what happened to you. The air traffic controller came to see Archie just before he fell asleep.
Well done, Archie. I'm sorry you had so much trouble, but I've organised a passport for you now and put some maps in your cockpit, so next time you go abroad, you'll be all right.
Archie felt much happier. He even began to look forward to getting some stamps in his passport so he could show off to the big planes, who were always boasting about how they last went all round the world when Archie usually never went further than Edinburgh. He fell asleep at last and dreamed about flying to Australia, which of course he could, but it was a long way for a DC-3 like Archie. Perhaps another visit to France would be nice, now that he knew the way and had his own passport.